Why does the Lord not always just immediately deliver us from trials and troubles? Why does the Lord sometimes seem to take a long time to answer prayer? Why do we sometimes find ourselves, as we seek the Lord, becoming more confused by the circumstances in which we find ourselves? And the answer can be, and I think for many, especially today, a troubling one. But the Lord is teaching us to look to Him in faith and rely on Him alone. And actually some of what that song expresses in a very vivid way is reflected in this particular passage we're looking at in Hebrews chapter 11. So do you want to turn with me back to the passage we read in Hebrews 11? What does it mean to live a life of faith? If you are a Christian here to this evening, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, then our desire is to live in the Lord, to live by faith, trusting in Him. And it means many things. We've been looking at this chapter 11 for a few weeks, and seeking to build up a picture of a life of faith. And in this passage he brings, this chapter anyway, he brings it to a conclusion. A challenging conclusion though. What does it mean to live a life of faith? If we look back over the chapter, one of the great themes that we've seen is that to live a life of faith especially means looking through and looking beyond all the circumstances in which we find ourselves. And it's worth just turning back to the beginning of the chapter, to verse 1. And this sort of a definition of faith. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. To live by faith means living, trusting in things that we cannot see, and living convinced of a hope and therefore a future that is promised to us but has not yet come. To live by faith lives in such a way as says, I am convinced that what the Lord tells me is true. I am convinced of the reality of the Lord and of all His goodness and of all His promises, and I will live my life based upon that confidence and certainty. And it means also, to live by faith means to live believing in that great hope that is laid up for us in the future. To live our lives believing that who we are and what we are and what we have and what we do in this life is not what it's all about. It's of great importance. But this life leads into eternity, where we will stand before God, where we will meet the Lord, where we will enter into glory and in His presence. What faith does is it makes those hidden things just as much a reality as the visible and seen things. Sometimes you might hear somebody say something along the lines of, I'll believe that when I see it. I'll believe that when I see it. Well, faith says the opposite, doesn't it? Faith says, I believe that even though I haven't yet seen it, because I know I will. I know I will see it. So that's the underlying idea of what faith is. And here from verse 29, we see to some degree something of bringing us into something of a summary of the experience of what it means for different people to have lived by faith in the Old Testament. And so just to divide it up a bit to help us to see where it's going, the first thing to notice is great challenges overcome by faith. Great challenges, and particularly great sufferings, overcome by faith. So look at verse 29. And it takes us back to Moses coming out of Egypt and being chased at the last moment by the Egyptians, seeking to stop them, the Hebrews, from fleeing from Egypt. And they came to the coast of the Red Sea, and God miraculously parted the waters so that the Hebrews could pass across and walk across the sea. And then brought the waters thundering back in again to stop the Egyptians from pursuing them and killing them. God delivered his people. Now, notice what the people did. They turned up at the water, didn't they? They came to the water's edge, and they looked up to the Lord, and they said, Lord, help. Lord, you have delivered us from the land, but now we face even greater danger. Our trust is in you. The Lord answered. He delivered them. 40 years later, they came to enter into the promised land. At this point, Moses is no longer with them. Joshua is leading the people in verse 30. And you may be aware of the events, the story that took place, of how they came to the city of Jericho and were told to march around the city a number of times and then finally to blast on the trumpet, and the walls of the city fell down. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, barriers are broken down. Today, Christians, churches, will face all sorts of challenges in seeking to live for the Lord. And very often there will seem to be great barriers in the way. Well, those barriers may seem to be insurmountable to us, but the Lord is in a moment able to bring them down. So when we face great sufferings, let us remember the Red Sea. Let us remember that the Lord is able to intervene in a mighty and in a miraculous way to deliver us from suffering. He is able to do that, and we have that belief, that faith, that expectation that he is able. When we face what seem to be great barriers in the Christian life and in Christian ministry and service, well, let's remember Jericho. Let's remember that those challenges and barriers that lie before us, well, the Lord can bring them tumbling down in an instant. He can intervene mightily, intervene miraculously, and bring them tumbling down. Verse 31. Rahab, as they were spying out the land, and they they were delivered from the city by the help of Rahab. Because of her help, because she saw these men as coming from God and she knew that God was with them. The idea here is that she put her trust, even if not clearly, but she put her trust in God. And God delivered her. God is able to deliver us. God is able to deliver us from all sorts of circumstances. Let's remember Rahab. Great challenges overcome, great sufferings overcome. And in the next few verses, there's a whole list of different things. From verse 32 to the beginning of verse 35, there's a list of different things and different ways different people overcame. With the stories of all sorts of people. And so it tells us here in verse 32 of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, the prophets. And you could add a whole list of other heroes of the faith, other people who lived before the Lord, who stepped out in faith. Every single one of them different, in different circumstances, with different challenges, different situations. And every one of them in different ways able to come to the Lord and trust in the Lord by faith. And able by faith to see the Lord working mighty miracles and doing amazing things. And we today, we are all very different. We all face different situations and challenges. We all have different circumstances in our families, in our home, amongst our relatives, at work, in our communities. And every one of us, though different and in different ways, is able to look to the Lord by faith and trust in Him. What are the challenges for you and I? What are the challenges that you face at the moment? What are the struggles that you are facing? What are the barriers that lie before you? Well, the Lord is able to deliver. The Lord is able to bring barriers tumbling down. Whatever our circumstances, let's just look from verse 33. What did they do, these different people? Through faith, they conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty and war, put foreign armies to flight. Now those are all things that particularly relate to the background and the context of the Old Testament and the history of God's people in the Old Testament. You could draw up a different list of things that were overcome by faith, for instance, by the apostles in the days of the early church, and by Christians through church history. You could draw up a different list, perhaps, of all the various challenges overcome, sufferings overcome by Christians today, in our own context, in our own church, in our own communities. Because the Lord is a Lord who responds to faith. The Lord leads us to live by faith, to step out in faith, to expect great and mighty things from God. Different challenges overcome by faith. You see, faith is trusting in God to work. Sometimes we can talk about faith as faith, maybe almost giving the idea is faith is what we achieve by the might and the strength that God gives to us. In a sense, it's not our faith that overcomes, is it? It's God who delivers. It is God who overcomes. It is our faith that enables us to trust in God's mighty deliverance and power. And as we were looking at, if you're with us this morning, as we were in John chapter 6, to live by faith means to believe that God can intervene in incredible, in mighty, even in miraculous ways. And to see no limitation in what God can do and how God might choose to answer. The challenge of faith is this. The easy thing to do is to live according to our own abilities and expectations. To live according to our own strengths. To our own resources and abilities. And to forget that we're not called to live in that way. We're called to live by faith, trusting in the mighty intervening power of God. Because He is at work in building His church. He is doing glorious things. He is doing remarkable things in the world today. And He is doing those things through every Christian. Through every fellowship, if we have this expectation of faith and come to Him and trust in Him and cry to Him, it's quite possible to live the Christian life and have no expectation that God could ever do anything beyond our own strength and resources. And if that is our situation, if that is how we live, that we won't see God doing anything. Beyond our expectations. To live by faith means looking up to heaven and having great expectations of what God is able to do. To limit what we cry to God for, to limit what we ask God for by what we already know. By what we already have at our resource. Well, that's not faith. No, faith is to look beyond what we see, to look beyond the visible, to look beyond our abilities. And to ask God based upon His mighty power. Great challenges, great sufferings overcome. Well, secondly, we see in the following verses, great sufferings borne. You see, first of all, we've said many people have seen themselves delivered from great sufferings. But here is the challenge of faith. It is that faith does not always mean we are delivered from suffering. But very often faith might mean that we are upheld and strengthened through suffering. That we are given the grace and help and all the miraculous life and power that we need to press on and to persevere through trials and through troubles and through sufferings. And so look at the description here from verse 35, halfway through the verse, it says, some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, were sawn in two, were killed with the sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. You see, if you look back over the Old Testament, you also see many people who went through sufferings from which they were not delivered. If you look at the New Testament, you see you see some marvelous deliverances, don't you? You need to sort of count up the number of times the Lord broke somebody out of prison. But there were others who were arrested and put to death and were killed. And we know that in the early church there were many, many people who died because of their faith. And the history of the church in all sorts of different places and the experience of Christians in many places today is that there is great and deep suffering. How easy do we find it when we pray for Christians who are suffering? Isn't our desire always to pray, Lord, deliver them from their suffering? Set them free, release them, change the government, change everything, so that it would always, for all of them, be ease and peace. But then we know we can't quite pray that way, don't we? Because actually the greater prayer is, Lord, give them endurance and perseverance to bear up and to glory in the Lord Jesus and to rejoice in him even in suffering. But the thing is, we're to pray. I think we are to pray both of those prayers. To pray for perseverance and endurance through suffering. And to pray according to the will of God for deliverance from suffering, but knowing that that's not always his will. And here's the question, why? Why is it that the Lord allows us to go through suffering? Why is it that when we cry to the Lord, he doesn't answer us? We sang in that song, we come to God in prayer. And we bring a request to God and we ask, and it seems that he doesn't answer, but things get worse. And in our thinking, we're saying, well, God's clearly not answering my prayer. But actually what he's doing is he is answering by showing us more clearly our need of him, by helping to clarify for us more and more what it means for us to trust in him. You see, what the Lord is teaching us is he's teaching us to live by faith. He's teaching us to trust in him in all sorts of circumstances. It's true. There are those who will say, oh, I don't like the sound of that at all. Don't want that. And they'll walk on by. But that's the experience of faith. So why? And how do we bear up and persevere and endure through sufferings? Well, the answer is our third point. So the first thing we said is that great challenges are overcome through faith. Great sufferings overcome. Secondly, we've said that great sufferings are born. We persevere through them by faith. But thirdly, we look for a better resurrection. We look for a better resurrection. Did you notice as we were reading in verse 35? Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might rise again to a better life. Many, many, many people, many Christians, have faced a choice, faced a situation where they are told your suffering can end right away if you just compromise your faith in just this little way. You don't even need to mean it. Just say the word. Pretend to mean it. And you will be released. And you will be set free and there will be no more suffering. And what does the Christian say? No, I love my Lord. What's important to me? Yes, I don't like this suffering. And you're right, I would love to be delivered from this suffering. But what is much more important to me at this moment is not the greatness of these sufferings, but what is much more important to me now is the hope of resurrection that lies before me. That's what I'm really concerned about. That's what I really want. And if compromising my faith in this small way now means losing out on something of that better resurrection, of that hope of heaven, then no way. I would rather dive deeper into suffering than in any way risk losing or missing out of that hope of heaven. Whatever the trials, whatever the sufferings we may face, whatever the hardships and the heartaches, we are to look through them and say, I bear these because I look to heaven. My goal is not to be delivered immediately from all that's uncomfortable and all that's difficult and all that I don't like. My goal is to look to the Lord, is to long to be with him in glory. Sure, it's tough. But I am preparing for a better resurrection. That's what really matters to me. Is my hope in heaven to rise to a better life. Look back to earlier in the chapter in verse 16. Talking about different heroes of the faith. From earlier on, from the beginning of the Bible, Abraham and Abel and Enoch and so on. And verse 16 says, they desire a better country, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared for them a city. That's why as Christians, we're not to get too attached to this world. Somebody recently has bought the field behind us to build upon it his dream house. And I'm sure it'll be a lovely house if he gets planning permission. And I'm sure it will be a great blessing to him and to his family. But it's a temporary home, isn't it? It's an earthly home. The Lord has prepared for us a city, a heavenly home. We desire a better country. And therefore we are willing to persevere even through sufferings because our hope is in heaven. Our eye is on a better resurrection. So the end of a chapter in verse 38 describes all these people who have gone through all these sufferings and says the world is not worthy of them. The world can despise them, can't it? The world can scorn and look down. Those who persecute others and persecute perhaps Christians, they don't usually, as they are persecuting, stand up before them and say, wow, I so admire your faith. No, usually they do it with scorn and derision. Sure, there are some who admire their faith, but that's not how many would see it. But the world is not worthy of them. It is in heaven. It is in glory, but the reality of the beauty of their faith will finally be seen for what it is. God will commend them. But look at just at those last two verses. All of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. Abraham was promised the land, was promised descendants as numerous as the stars of the sky. He didn't see that. It's not that it didn't happen, but he didn't see it. He died before it came to pass. And Abraham is a great illustration of this idea. But there are many things that are achieved by faith, by trusting in the Lord, that we don't actually see take place and come to pass in our own lifetime. You see, the danger in the Christian life is that we are thinking about building what I will enjoy and what I will be part of and what I will experience. But actually, very often, living by faith and living the Christian life means that I labor and pray and serve. And the fruit of those labors and prayers will not be something that I will actually see, but which others in the future will see. How many people are there? How many Christians are there who have prayed and prayed and prayed, perhaps for one of their children or their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren even, for that they might come to faith, and have not seen those prayers answered in their lifetime, but they have been answered nonetheless. And the fruit is a beautiful life of faith, even though the person who, in an earthly sense, in a human level, achieved that through faith, through their prayers, didn't see the result of it. Now, faith looks to what, not just what I'm doing or what we are doing now. Faith look to what the Lord is doing and what he is building into the future way beyond us. And we pray and we labor and we serve, not just to build something for ourselves, but for his kingdom and his glory and into the future. We're not always going to see the fruit of the prayers. Again, that song we've sung, I prayed and the Lord didn't seem to answer. Well, there are many prayers that are not answered in our lifetime. And yet the Lord hears those prayers and answers them in his time. But the conclusion is in verse 40, since God has provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. We are looking for a better resurrection. What does that mean? Particularly those saints in the Old Testament, what does it mean that they were looking for a better resurrection? That God had provided something better, that they had to wait for us, for the church? Well, the answer is this. They were waiting for Christ. They were waiting for Jesus Christ. They were waiting for the everlasting Son of God to come into the world and to take on our humanity and frailty. They were waiting for him to live that life of love, to go to the cross. They were waiting for him to die upon the cross to bear our sins in our place. They were waiting for him to come upon the cross to bring forgiveness of all their sins as our sins. They were waiting for the Lord Jesus Christ to rise from the dead, to ascend up into heaven, to be seated at the right hand of the Father. Sure, they were. They couldn't put it in those words. But they were waiting for the fulfillment of God's purposes, for the Messiah, the Savior, the Deliverer to come. Because when he comes, he will be creating this new and glorious hope in heaven. What did Jesus say to his disciples when they were shocked at the idea of his leaving them? He was saying, it's better that I leave you, because when I go to prepare a place for you, and I will come back and bring you to be with me where I am. And that applies just as much to the Old Testament. They were waiting. Why can't we go now? Well, because they were waiting for the Messiah to come. They were waiting for the Lord Jesus. Now, when we go to the New Testament today, we can see the glory and the wonder of the hope that is set before us. And the heart of that hope is Jesus Christ himself. To know him, to love him. What is our hope? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in us? Well, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. He is our hope in heaven. We love him. We long to be with him. To see him. What does it mean that they and we are looking for a better resurrection? It means what is my primary concern is this. What I long for above everything else is to be with Christ forever in heaven. And I am willing, not easily, but by God's grace, I trust I will be willing to bear whatever sufferings come my way. Whatever path he may lay before me. Because my priority is not ease in this life, but a better resurrection. My hope in heaven, which is Jesus Christ. And here's the thing. What does that mean? Well, it means when suffering comes, when trials come, when horrible news comes, when great pain, physical pain comes, what do we say? Do we simply burst out and say, oh, I can't bear this? Or do we say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Here is a new situation in which to trust in the Lord, in which to look to him, because my hope is in heaven. Let us live by faith. Let us learn to live trusting in him. And at the heart of what it means to live by faith, it means looking to the Lord Jesus Christ and longing above everything else to be with him in glory. We are willing to bear sufferings because we prepare for a better resurrection through faithfulness in this life. Let us live by faith, overcoming many challenges, with boldness and confidence in prayer, with expectation of God's miraculous and glorious intervention. He is a God who is involved, who is at work. Let us not be bowed down by the challenges we see ahead of us, but rather let's take hold of the Lord by faith, trusting in him, our hope of glory. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank, we praise, we worship you, for we have such a glorious Savior who has loved us so greatly. We thank you for the hope of heaven that we have. And we pray that you would lead us and guide us day by day Help us to step out in faith, to live by faith. And we ask in Jesus' name, Amen.